Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast presented by Omaha Steaks. Josh All and Justin Charles with you today, and we are going to break down the episode of QB Unplugged on Lockerverse that Deshaun Watson and Quincy Avery did last week. Whenever Deshaun was doing his grand opening of the Lefty's Cheesesteak restaurant in Cleveland Heights, which is awesome. And if you guys, if anybody out there was able to go to that opening and check it out and see what was going on, drop it in the comments. Let us know how it was. We've heard from a lot of people so far that said they were there, said it was awesome. And we just love hearing about all that stuff. But they did a podcast during the opening. And, you know, there was a lot of good clips and insight from that podcast because head coach Kevin Stefanski joined them. And
absolutely,
you know, I think that, you know, Kevin and Deshaun get this weird bad narrative rap from a lot of the disgruntled pissy fans in the fan base who just for whatever reason seem to be rooting for the Browns to fail. And I don't understand it. I don't know why after so many decades of head coaches not working out and quarterbacks not working out, why we would be so eager to see these guys fail when so far. I mean, the only thing with Deshaun is he hasn't been on the field, which again, neither of those situations were his fault. It's not like he was refusing to play. He was suspended and hurt. So I think we've got good things going on in this interview with Kevin and Quincy and Deshaun. Just really help show the relationship they have and the way they sit together. There's a clip here we'll show where they're breaking down film. And they're talking about the locker room and the culture and just all kinds of things that if you haven't seen the episode, you should go watch the full thing. But we'll break down our favorite parts of it here today. So before we do, YouTube, like and subscribe to the channel. Tap the notification bell so you don't miss anything new, like the live that we just did recapping the Nick Chubb contract situation for the Browns this season. And if you're on audio, Apple Podcasts specifically, please leave us a 5-star review. That really helps out the show. And with all of that being said, let's dive into our first clip. So the first bit of this podcast that we want to show, Quincy's asking Kevin Stefanski about his Coach of the Year awards, and here's what he has to say about that.
So, like, when you get two Coach of the Years, like, where do you put them? Is there, like, a room in the house you start dedicating these trophies to, plan on getting some more?
Yeah, there's another trophy I'd like much more than that one. You know what's great about that thing is it's a representation of your team. You don't win that thing if you don't have the players. You don't win that thing if you don't have the coaching staff that are helping you. So I look at that as a collective award. I don't love talking about it, quite honestly, but I do love that it represents our operation, represents our players, represents our coaches.
So what's your takeaways from that little soundbite?
I love it, man.
Yeah.
I love it. I know we're going to get into some other stuff too, but I felt like, you know, it's tough getting a read on coach sometimes, right? I feel like he's very buttoned up a lot of the time. He's very just by the book. So like for this, like it was almost like a peek behind the curtain, but for him talking about it, I love how he just was like very like selfless about it and like turned it into like an opportunity to be like, well, no, this isn't about what I did. You know, because I'm sure there's guys that'd be like, yeah, you know, like it's great to get this award. And, you know, I think I'm doing a lot of great things here. Like he completely spun it and just said, hey, like this isn't about what I'm doing. This is like a reflection of what we've done as a unit, as a group, as well of my coaches, you know, my coaching staff and my players. And so I thought that was cool. I also like that he's just like, you know, I don't really care about these trophies. Yeah. I want the other one. I thought that was funny, but that was just cool seeing coach in a different light. Cause for a long time, we didn't get to see this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he was just very, he was always serious, you know, like it was hard to get a read on him at all. Like most coaches, like, I feel like that's like most coaches in the NFL, but, no, I really love that. And I think that reflects, you see that as like the culture of this, the, you know, the team and the, like what they're trying to do and like why guys are buying in. Like, it's not about me. It's about us and what we're doing.
I 100% agree. And I'm glad you mentioned culture, because this next bit here that we'll play, Kevin and Deshaun talk about the locker room and the culture and everything there. So let's take a walk or listen to this one real quick.
And I say this, I'm going to give you your flowers live, coach. The things that you do for the organization, for this community, but for the locker room, the guys talk about it every day, talk about it all the time. I think that is a big testimony to what you and AB is doing for this organization, for this community, and it's something special. And we talk about it in the locker room, and I think that's why, you know, we go out there every Sunday or whenever we're playing, and we give you 110%, because you treat us like men, you give us our flowers when we need to, but also you push us hard enough to go out there on the practice field and compete. And then once we get out there on Sundays, it make it a lot easier.
Well, I appreciate that. And as you know, that locker room is, that's you. That's right. You guys. That's not my locker room. I trust the leaders on our football team, the things that you do in that locker room. I think it gets lost on people. Everybody sees what goes on Sundays, but man, there is so much hard work. Think Definitely. About in the meeting room, in the weight room. I mean, that is so much that leads up to those games on Sunday. And without a strong locker room, it's too hard. So I'm blessed to have the group that we have, that culture that you guys have instilled in this place. That's what wins on Sundays, is just having those type of people.
Most definitely.
So right there, man, I mean, we're seeing it again. Deshaun's heaping praise on Stefanski. Like, we love you. The team loves you. The locker room loves you. I mean, you treat us like men. You trust us. You know, you don't micromanage, is kind of what I'm basically getting from that. Like, we know what we need to do, mm-hmm. and you let us do it, and you create that culture where we have all ownership. And when the team has ownership, that's when they're at their best in any sport. And as soon as he's saying all that, Kevin's like, well, that's not my locker room. That's your locker room. That's
right.
You guys did that. You know, you guys create that culture and everything. I'm blessed to have you guys. And that's what these players love about him, is there's no egotistical anything with Kevin Stefanski. Despite what a lot of, I still see a lot of fans saying, oh, Kevin's got this ego. Kevin does not have an ego. Kevin has no problem giving praise, giving credit to everybody else in the room but him. He has no problem bringing in smart people into the room. He has no fears like, oh man, what if Jim Schwartz takes my job? No, he doesn't care. Well, Mike, he doesn't care. I want the best people in the room to help us win.
I think a big thing that this comes down to is there's trust and then there's respect, a bunch across, all the way across, you know, I think from top to bottom, which we haven't always had that.
No.
And so you hear both sides basically say, you know, like, hey, you know, Deshaun saying, hey, we appreciate, you know, just how you coach us, how you treat us, how your approach to us. And then right back, Kevin saying, well, this is just what you guys have built. You know, like, I don't have any part of that. This is everything that you've built, that you guys do. You guys put in all the work and, you know, and then we just go and execute. I think the biggest thing that I took away from that was there's trust and there's respect. And we haven't always had that.
No, we have not.
Even in the past few years, since we've done this podcast, I can remember plenty of times where I'm listening to press conferences after the game and I'm going, man, I can't believe that guy just said that about a coach, Joe Woods, or, you know, like, so, you know, along those lines. So I think that there's just a united effort and a goal to get to where they want to go. And I think that we all know what that goal is. I don't, you know, jinx us or anything, but I think they have all have the same vision. It's not all, hey, let's go out here and we'll just, you know, we'll get a check and go home. I think that they all are united and on the same idea that we have built something special. The culture is different. We were hearing it last year from players, you know, when we would talk to them at training camp, that there was something special going on in the building.
They were
building something, you know, and like, people would be surprised, but don't be surprised. Like, we heard that from a couple of players on the defensive side of the ball, but it was just crazy. So I love all this. Like, for me, this is for the first time in my life, I feel like, and I tune out a lot of like the outside noise. I like it for me as a Browns fan. I love this team. They can do no wrong in my eyes, because as far as I'm concerned, I've already lived through some of the worst years of Browns fandom that I can. Like, to me, it can't get worse than going 0-16 or 1-15 or being, you know, so down that I think that, well, hey, there's a chance that I might never see us go to the playoff, let alone win a Super Bowl. So the idea of this, there's a collective group, and it's not just, you know, player talk. Like, we're just like, oh yeah, we're winning the Super Bowl this year, or fan talk like we like to do. Like, I'm the blind optimist every year. I'm like, well, hey, maybe this is the year. Yeah. And that's just me being a Cleveland fan. I think there's true belief in that locker room that there is something special going on.
Yeah. And we've got the coaching staff, we've got the roster, we've got all the pieces. As long as we stay healthy, we can compete with anybody. And we were competing with anybody last year with a bunch of our key guys on IR. So
yes,
all we've done so far this offseason is make improvements. And the biggest improvement, Blake says this all the time, the biggest improvement we can make is just everybody be healthy. That's it. Because what we already had last year was already good enough. So it's good to see that. And the next clip here, they talk about this one I thought was real interesting, and we'll dive into it after I play it. But Deshaun and Kevin start talking about this whole halftime adjustment thing that people always talk about, and how unrealistic that actually is.
I think also, too, a big, I guess, question out there, too, is like, people don't understand how fast, especially adjustments, happen throughout the game, but really halftime. Mm. So you come in, you play your first half, you come in, you probably have, they say 10 minutes, it's probably 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what is your process going through at halftime to try to make adjustments to get ready for the second half?
Yeah, it's insane. Honestly, I'll never forget my first halftime of my first preseason game as a young coach with the Vikings. It was like, all right, I thought it was college where the band's playing on the field and you got all this time, and I'm gonna go. It was like 2 minutes. You got the referees are banging on the door. You guys got to come out. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, to Deshaun's point, like that halftime, if you're waiting till halftime to make an adjustment, you're in trouble. So those adjustments are happening really in a series, in between the series. Halftime, what we try to do is have a lot of conversation on the headset the last, call it, 5 minutes, preparing ourselves for that halftime.
Right.
So we're talking, okay, hey, what are the first three passes? What are the first three runs we want to get to? What's the pressure that they brought in this first half that they're probably going to bring again, so we can coach the guys up on how we're going to pick it up? So once we get in there, we huddle up super fast, hit those things, and then we're in front of the players right away. And we bring in a whiteboard. We put up the plays. We project the plays on the board. Like, hey, here's what you can expect of the next plays to happen. But I guess my big point is those adjustments better be happening throughout the game. They're happening sometimes in the series. Like, hey, Deshaun, you're telling Deshaun, hey, tell the left tackle to be ready for it. And yep. Hey, they just brought that pressure. They're probably going to bring it again. Remember, he's got to go all the way out to the nickel. Like, yep. Those are type of things that are happening both in series, in between series, in between the quarters, and obviously at halftime as well.
So that whole thing to me was just like, and we talked before on the show about how halftime adjustments aren't really a thing. But hearing Kevin break it down, it's like, no wonder so many coaches fail in the NFL, because if you're not on your stuff, if you're not organized and prepped and ready to go and taking in everything that's happening and processing it at a high, high level, you're screwed. You know what I mean? Because he was saying, if you're not making adjustments on the fly, you're in trouble.
I mean, I think most people, most people know that there's a lot going on during game. You see, the surface pads out everywhere, guys going over stuff like, play to play, after series and stuff like that. But I thought it was really, I thought it was cool just where they're talking about that and how they're like, yeah, we already have the next, three pass plays, three run plays, everything's scripted, everything's ready to go. And then these guys, there's really no time. So they just sit there and just bang it out real quick and then head out there. But I think it is cool, and it's kind of crazy that there is conversation on the headset like that, where they're saying, hey, tell the left tackle this. To me, like, there's probably so much stuff going on, because in game, like, as a fan, you're sitting there, it's fast. Like, play to play is incredibly fast. It's 20 seconds,
right?
They're right back, right into the next play. So I thought it was very eye-opening. And I think for somebody who's just kind of like just a fan, like, to hear like the perspective of what's that like for the coach, for the quarterback, you know, for players involved in that huddle. I just thought it was very, very eye-opening, very interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And this whole conversation was just, again, like you were saying, we don't get a whole lot of inside glimpse into Kevin Stefanski. And, you know, and I think a lot of the perception of him being like this stone-faced kind of no emotional guy is because, and you'll see it in a clip later on, he's got a kind of a dry sense of humor. Whenever he jokes around and says things, he has a straight face when he says it. And it's like, was he kidding? Oh yeah, he was kidding there.
You don't know if he's kidding.
You don't know because he's just, that's just his personality. But this episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Browns fans, nothing says summer is on its way like the taste of a juicy tender burger that is grilled to perfection. And nobody does burger perfection like Omaha Steaks. And right now, when you guys go to omahasteaks.com/dogs, you can order the limited time Burger Perfection Flight. This is one of my favorite deals from last year that they did, and I'm so glad they're doing it again. You guys get 24 mouthwatering steak burgers, not just regular burgers, freaking steak burgers, the pure ground filet mignon burgers, the New York strip burgers, the ribeye burgers, the brisket burgers, the sirloin burgers, and the all new porterhouse burgers. And you get all of that for just $89.99 when you use our code DAWGSDOGS when you check out. Each 6 ounce burger is filled with flavor from the mild and tender filet mignon to the rich and buttery ribeye. The quality and deliciousness of these burgers can only come from Omaha Steaks, and they are guaranteed to satisfy. And guys, at $3.75 a patty, you really can't beat that with the price of food right now. And the price of meat in the grocery stores is absolutely ridiculous. You cannot beat this deal. $90, $89.99 for 24 of these phenomenal, delicious, awesome steak burgers. And you get all of that when you use code DOGS at checkout. Go to omahasteaks.com, order the Burger Perfection Flight today, and do not forget to use that promo code DOGS, DAWGS, when you check out to get everything, the 24 delicious burgers. Hurry, because these supplies are limited. Take advantage of this opportunity now before supplies run out. OmahaSteaks.com/dogs, promo code DOGS. Before we move on, Ohio, Bet365 is offering new users $150 in bonus bets this month. To receive your bonus bets, all you have to do is sign up for Bet365 using our link, make a first deposit of $10, and place a $5 wager on any game. Once that first $5 bet settles, you will receive $150 in bonus bets, even if you lose the bet. To be eligible for this sign-up bonus, you must sign up through our link down in the description. So if you haven't yet signed up for Bet365, click our link in the description and place that first bet. This offer is only available for new customers who are 21 and older and physically present in Ohio. Please gamble responsibly. If you or a loved one has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Check the episode description for the full terms to see if you can qualify. This next clip, Quincy and Deshaun and Kevin, they have a conversation about coaching different quarterback styles. And I thought this was very pertinent as we go into 2024 with this new Ken Dorsey, more college, mm-hmm. Minded offense with a lot more shotgun RPO type stuff. And, you know, they talk about Kirk Cousins, and we'll just play the clip and then we'll talk about it after.
Most of the fans see that, like last year we had, injuries at quarterback. So you have different, styles of quarterback. You have a guy that's a runner. You have a younger guy. You have a guy like Joe, who's a vet, who don't really move as much as me or DTR or PJ. Do that change the thought process of calling a game?
Absolutely. And I think that's our job as coaches, is how do you win this week?
Right.
And it changes week to week. Sometimes, hey, this team is really good at defending this type of offense, so we'd love to get into empty, or we'd love to run two back offense, but they're really good at that. So now we got to move and say, okay, how are we going to win this game? So it's our job to run an offense that suits our players. And you better be thinking about the quarterback when you're putting that game plan together. So you can call a play and you're trying like crazy to get somebody open, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't, right? And that's where Deshaun's natural ability, like I can think back even to that Cincinnati game we were just watching. I think the first third down, you took off running, right? And gained whatever, 15 yards and first down. And was the play call good? I didn't get anybody open for you. We tried, but you're like the great eraser. It's like, okay, cool. I'll take over. You are where the chalk ends,
right?
On that chalkboard. So for me, the fun part is we try to put together a system that fits our guys. So in this case, yeah, Kirk sees the game differently, definitely going to want to be more under center, goes through his progressions. Other players like, no, spread it out for me. I got a better sense when we spread the formation out. You watch certain teams that have really condensed formations. And I think, listen, there's a thousand ways to skin the cat. For me, it's always like what fits our guys the best. As a play caller, as a designer, as an offensive coach, we love it when you got guys that can then play off schedule, because how much of this game nowadays is played off schedule?
I like whenever he said, you know, some guys like it under center, some guys are like, no, spread it out for me. I can see it better. I can run it better. And if you heard there, Quincy was chuckling off to the side as Kevin was saying that. And this is just my opinion on it, but I'm guessing that's Deshaun. I'm guessing Deshaun is that quarterback saying, hey, let me get back and spread it out and let me play my game. And I think that's what the Browns are gearing up to do this season.
Isn't it kind of crazy? Because we've talked about this over the last couple of years, like when Deshaun would struggle and we'd go, man, isn't it like, don't you think him and coach could just sit down and go, hey, what plays do you like running? Like what? Because we thought that there was conflict between the two, maybe potentially, where we were like, what's going on where these two weren't on the same page? Because that was a real thing for a while, I felt. That first year when he came back from suspension, I was very, I just felt like it couldn't come together, which wasn't coming together correct, right? So I love hearing, and especially with Kevin Stefanski, who runs this like precision time offense, you're hearing him go, well, hey, you know, I'm going to have to adapt. I'm going to have to be a little bit more like what works for you. We're going to do stuff like, I'm going to run my play, but just knowing in the back of my head that you have the ability to go off script and you can do great things with it. And I trust you with the decision-making that you're doing there. So like, it's almost like a full, like an evolution of the offense. And then when you bring Dorsey in, I think it's going to open it up a lot. The addition of Dorsey, and I think, and I could be wrong here, but I think Jerry Jeudy, like, I think that is going to be a big time deal. And then you're still going to have Chief. Like, it's the idea of this offense. And then it's going to, I think it's going to be very open though. Like a lot of throwing the ball. And then when you do run the ball, there's going to be a great opportunity because defense is on its toes. There's, you know, they're worried about the long ball. They're worried about the short pass. So I'm super excited. I love hearing that from coach though, because like for a long time I was like, well, this is our offense. This is what we're going to run. It's going to be like, you know, and then you saw like some over the last year where it kind of like opened up, but we still would have moments where we're like, what are we doing there? Like, I don't know what that play was, but then you just learn to trust. Like at some point I just went, well, hey, like we're doing, the offense is moving the ball. There might be a play game where I'm like, oh, I don't like that one, but whatever. I literally am a guy sitting on my couch or at the game. It doesn't matter what I have to say, or as a fan base, like what we have to say. If we're winning games, what does it really matter? But I think that you're going to see Deshaun and coach kind of collab, and then Dorsey's input into that. I think that could be a really beautiful marriage.
Yeah, because I'm really glad that they had that conversation on this podcast, and we got that glimpse there, because if you look back, there's obviously been a disconnect at times, and you look at what quarterbacks has Kevin Stefanski had great success with on the field, and it was Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, and it was Jacoby Brissett. It was a healthy Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco. What do these guys all have in common? Pocket passers, right? They're not looking to extend plays. They're looking to get the ball and get it out. I got to get it to my guys. I know how to read the defense. And that's Kevin Stefanski's precision offense. And I think the moves he's made all point to him acknowledging, and this is what I love about Kevin, is he wants to do things his way, obviously, because, hey, this is what I want to do, so we're going to do it. But when it doesn't work, when he's struggling, when he finds out that there's something that I just can't do this one thing, he'll go find somebody who can do it and bring them in. And that's why you got Ken Dorsey. That's why we've got Tommy Reese. That's why we got all these other guys coming in to change up this offense, because Deshaun Watson is not the same quarterback as those guys. DTR didn't excel under Kevin Stefanski. He's not the same quarterback as those other guys. You know what I mean? So I really like that they're making a very, very heavy effort to making this thing work to the best of it, everybody's ability. This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over, so you get 10% off every order you make using code DAWGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. dangercoffee.com, code DAWGS.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so we've got two clips left to play for you guys. This next one's a little bit longer, just like the last one, but this is the film breakdown where you get a kind of an inside scoop on Deshaun and Kevin sitting there looking at a play from the Bengals game back in week one. And it's just interesting to hear how they communicate and the things that they're looking at on the field and when they're watching film. So we'll check that out now.
And this is something I think you do better than anybody in the NFL. And this is something I talked to Deshaun about, you know, when he's getting ready to make the decision to come to Cleveland, is how good of a job you do at just scheming up stuff like this. So what are you thinking here?
So we're in what we call a J family set for us. So our J formations are what we call one by three. So you see the tight ends up top. So he's the one and the three receivers down to the side. And what you're trying to do, and Deshaun knows this, what we're trying to do is make the play look like something and then it's not.
Yep.
And with Nick Chubb back there, we're under center in this formation. We're trying to make this look like wide zone football. So those initial steps for the defense should look like that. Mm-hmm. And then this is a max protection. So we're keeping Dave in up top and he's pass blocking. What's so interesting about this play is this protection is not, we don't want to test this protection, meaning this protection is not going to block up every type of pressure. And guess what? Here's Deshaun under center and they're bringing a pressure into it. So first things first, he should look over the sideline and be like, hey, dude, don't call that in that pressure. But what do you do is you call plays thinking about players.
Okay.
And what happens on this play is our players make this work. And you'll see our guard here, in this case, I think it's Wyatt. He pops out originally thinking he's going to go help Dave Njoku. Instead, he feels that pressure come and he's able to come back. So now Deshaun has to navigate a loud pocket. We always talk about, hey, it'd be great to have a clean pocket every single time. That doesn't happen. So here's Deshaun navigating a clean pocket, able to step up in that pocket and then deliver a ball to Elijah on really what amounts to a double move.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I saw the pressure. And usually on play action, we take about, 8 to 9 steps.
Yep.
I kind of quickened my steps up a little bit, stepped up in the pocket. And I think this game was the first game where it was super rainy. So for me, you see Elijah wide open. I don't want to overthrow him.
Right.
You're not going to miss a wide open guy like that. So I give him a catchable ball and, you know, the rest is up to him.
Go for it, man. I love that breakdown.
No, yeah, I thought that was super cool, man. It's crazy hearing those two. My favorite part of watching these podcasts right now is seeing the film breakdown stuff and just how how Deshaun's seeing things. But then when they bring in coach and you're getting to hear those two interact about the play, and you know, he's talking about, hey, we don't want to test this against pressure. And he's saying, yeah, hey man, don't call that anymore or whatever. it's cool hearing how they break it down. I feel like something also we've always thought about Kevin is I feel like when he's like a chess player, like he's always two steps ahead. Like, you know, he's like calling his formation. He wants it to look like one thing, but you know, there it's, that's completely just smoke. You know what I mean? That's a cloud. It's cloud basically. And it's a completely different play. So I love hearing like the film breakdown aspect between those two.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the podcast and not watching, you might want to go to YouTube, check out at least that portion right there, because so you can see what we're talking about. But there is a as the play unfolds, he's right. The pocket kind of gets pushed from the, I guess it'd be the left side.
Correct. Yep.
Into Deshaun. And so where the clean pocket area is changes quickly. And not to knock anybody or throw out any former quarterback names, but we do have a former Browns quarterback who probably would have backpedaled in that situation, creating even worse pressure, getting further behind the line, and probably resulting in a sack or at worst a throwaway. But Deshaun saw that pressure immediately, went straight up into that where the new clean area was, and was able to get that ball. And like he said, that game was soaking wet. It rained the whole time. Yep. And, you know, we've talked about this before. The thing people don't think of a lot is when it's raining, that ball is so much heavier because it's soaking wet. So he even talks about, like, I'm thinking, don't overthrow him, because Elijah Moore was wide open. And he's, you know, because he throws it to him and Elijah kind of has to slow down and stop to make the catch. And it's like, well, why didn't he lead him? He didn't want to overthrow him. He didn't want to throw the ball away. He's like, I'm not missing this wide open guy. Just stick it on him. And that's what he did. And they had a big play on that one.
Yep. You're literally under pressure. The ball's wet. Your grip might not be as good as it would be if you were playing in a dome, you know, and you have to execute the throw. So, I thought that was all cool.
Yeah, for sure. So that was a lot of fun. Make sure you guys go check out any more of the film breakdown these guys do on the podcast. But we have one last clip and it's shorter, but I like this one because it shows, again, that more dry sense of humor of Kevin Stefanski, but it's the relationship between him and Deshaun that you don't get to see in any other format other than this. So take a look.
Since Quincy, he's a big golfer. What's your handicap?
I don't like to talk about that. You know, like, you got it. It's not. I don't want to brag, so we'll let everybody keep wondering. I played with this guy. You're annoying, by the way. And here's why it's annoying. He just picks the game up, and then he's like draining 35-foot putts. It's the most ridiculous thing. It's like you were blessed. I bet you if there was a dartboard here, you're throwing like
he'd figure it out.
Bullseyes. It's annoying. Okay.
Most definitely.
So I don't possess whatever this dude possesses. I don't have that. But I like to keep things close to the vest.
Okay. Cool.
I just thought that was cool. Like, you know, just to see these two, I mean, they're men. These are two grown men and they're out golfing, right? And Deshaun's not a big golfer, hasn't been doing it for very long. And Kevin probably has. And he's worked on his craft and his game and he's gotten really good at it, like a lot of us try to do. And here comes Deshaun Watson, the natural athlete out there. And he just picks up a club and starts doing things Kevin's been working years to do. And it's just, I thought that was pretty funny.
Golf is a painfully competitive game.
Yes.
Especially like you have to make it what it is, right? So like at one point I used to go out there and I'd try to hit every ball perfect and I'd be like, man. But now I just try to just not hate it the entire time. Like if I can go out there and hit a few good shots and maybe get away with some pars and not have like a quadruple bogey on any holes, that would be great. But it's cool. It's cool seeing Coach almost so laid back. Like we said at the beginning of the show, you've never kind of seen him. You've seen him kind of joke here and there, like doing like, you know, interviews and stuff like that. But like, I felt like he was real loose. Like he was very loose. He was very open, even though he wasn't open in that answer, you know. So it was just cool seeing him like that, because I feel like we always kind of give him this, like you've said, that there's like a this vision that he's like this very serious stonewall, like never jokes around guy.
Yeah.
And he's probably pretty fun to hang out with, you know.
You know, you got to be able to relate to people in any sort of business, but in sports, if you can't relate to people, you're not going to make it. If you can't relate to your players, your teammates, you can't relate to your coaches, your owners, your manager, whatever, front, like everybody's got to be able to relate to each other to make this thing work. And, you know, I know Kevin, there's a lot of those narratives that go around, but just if you think about it logically for a second, this is a dude that came in first time ever head coach. He's never been a head coach in the NFL before. And he gets an entirely new team. He hasn't been with the Browns before. It's all new players, new front office, new ownership, new everything. And he has to coordinate the entire thing on Zoom because it's COVID. So he has to be able to relate to people. He was able to relate to people so well that they built a cohesive culture and team over the freaking computer to go on and have an 11-game or 11-win season and win a playoff game. So that's just, I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does in Cleveland right now. And he should. I mean, the two coach of the years, yes, he's getting the credit from people outside the city, but I feel like there's still a lot of the fan base that's just not willing to give this guy any credit.
I think just it is what it is. It's just like it's the fanatic thing, you know, it's the fan thing. Like, it's very easy to nitpick and it's very easy to like take a look at one or two plays from a 4-hour game and go like, well, especially when it comes down to a win or a loss, right? Yeah. Where there's those 2 years where things weren't great. There was injuries, there was turmoil, like a little bit, you know, they're a little bit of miscommunication between coaching and players and scheme. So I think like when you take all of that in, you have people that like to just nitpick, you know, and so it's frustrating, but at the same sense, like I think if he just continues to be successful, continues to execute his game plan, and like it's almost like his vision, you know what I mean? Like him and Barry and Haslam, like that, I think they're all on the same on what they want to do and like what the end goal is at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So I like, don't get me wrong, there'll be bumps. There'll be injuries. There'll be, you know, where you lose half your team basically to IR. Yeah, been there. Like, and then you're still able to be successful just because of, you know, what you have built and what you instill in your players. So I'm excited for him. Like for me, and you've talked about this a lot, I know Blake's talked about a lot of, it's so refreshing just to know like, well, hey, at least at the end of the year, we're not going to have to go find a coach.
Right.
Or, you know, like that to me, that I knew every 2-3 years, if, you know, that was on a long streak that, well, I wonder who the next guy is. We used to joke like in our friend groups, like we'd be like, so who do you think like would be the next great? You think Nick Saban would come to Cleveland? And I'd be like, no, he's not leaving. He's not coming to Cleveland. Hell no, he ain't coming there. But it's just super refreshing. It's nice. It's relieving. We have a coach and a pretty damn good one. You know,
he's relatable and he's genuine. He's sincere. Like he's not fake. And, you know, again, these are all grown men, you know, they're athletes. They play the sport at a high level. And for anybody out there who's ever worked for a manager that you're like, this person is so fake. They're so full of BS. And it just brings everything down. And we've had coaches like that before. Hugh Jackson was like that, where the players are looking at this guy just rolling their eyes like, are you freaking kidding me, dude? That we're not having any of that.
Chair. Yeah. I've sat in that chair before.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there nodding their heads because you guys know what I'm talking about. But so we just wanted to bring you guys some clips from that podcast. Thought it was really, really cool. I'm so glad that they did that because I think getting a more transparent look into some of these players, and I know not everybody's got the personality or the desire to sit down and do a podcast and talk and put themselves out there. But when they do, you know, it's beneficial to listen because you get to learn stuff about these guys that otherwise you either don't know or you're just, you know, formulating ideas in your mind about what they're like. So it's good to see it. But anything else you want to touch on from the QB Unplugged from Lockerverse?
Nope, that was awesome.
That was awesome. So appreciate everybody tuning in again on YouTube. Like, subscribe to the channel, tap the notification bell. If you're listening on audio, thank you. Please follow the show. Give us a 5-star review on Apple. And make sure you guys, if you're in the Northeast Ohio area, check out Kittle's Brick Oven Pub. Sorry, I had a brain fart there for a second. But yeah, off the Maslin Exit Road there. And I tell you what, you guys go in there and mention the Dogs Podcast and you get a free appetizer with an order of an entree. So a good deal, and check it out. It's good food and those guys are pretty awesome. And I guess last but not least, if you want more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. Me and Justin are in there usually, sometimes Blake doing the after hours shows. Everybody's in Discord 24/7 all week long, nonstop conversations. It's a ton of fun, but I don't know. Me and Justin were kicking around the idea on a couple weeks ago about maybe doing a fantasy football podcast. Ooh. So we'll see. We'll see if anything ever comes of that. But we're definitely interested in that topic. So we could do maybe a little sideshow.
I feel like I would never shut the hell up. So I would love that.
Well, and if you guys go check out that After Hours episode where we did a little bit of, we kind of did a test run with some fancy stuff. Justin didn't shut up. He talked the whole freaking time.
Sorry. It's just, that's my thing. That's my thing.
He knows what he's talking about. It's good stuff. So, all right, we're going to get out of here, but make sure you guys mark your calendars. And that's why on YouTube notification bell, because on the 26th on Friday at 7 o'clock, we're going to live on YouTube for the night two of the NFL draft coverage. We're going to see what the Browns do in rounds 2 and 3. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really exciting. We can't wait to do it. So until we talk to you guys again, let's go Browns. Oh, oh, oh.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.